This podcast is produced and distributed by Biz Radio Asheville. To receive the free Biz Radio app, just text the word Asheville to 36260. That's Asheville to 36260. With the app, you can easily enjoy this program and other local programming podcasts on demand.
I'm Joanna Patrice Haggerty, and this is In Business with JPH, where we share tips and tools of our community's most innovative entrepreneurs, artists, and creative business owners. Today with me is Allie Marshall. Allie is a poet, performer, writer, editor, filmmaker, and creative community builder. She's interested in moving writing beyond the page, seeking the golden in the mundane, finding the intersection of art and social justice, and reconnecting with mythology, both ancient and modern. I brought Allie on today to talk all things music, art, and business. But first, Allie, thank you so much for being here today.
Oh, I'm so excited to be here and talk with you. We always have such fun conversations.
We really do. It's been an interesting, you know, you've supported me in press over the years for so many things. And we've really had a very digital relationship for most of our life, haven't we?
Yeah, I think that's true, isn't it? It's interesting how life is like that now. You know, the last 10 years or so, I'd say that we really can have people who are we're close to and are important, but we mainly know through a screen.
Yeah. And yeah, or just email and never have met. And so I love that we connected, gosh, a couple of years ago, probably mostly around my last business, Expand, was when we started kind of meeting and getting a little closer. But I know it's been a crazy year for everyone. I would love to hear what was 2020 and what has 2021 started looking like for Allie Marshall? That's a big question.
Yeah, right.
Good luck.
Yeah, thank you. Well, I would say that 2020 was definitely a roller coaster ride. I think that is no surprise to anyone. But, you know, honestly, aside from the losses and the grieving process over, you know, the stuff that so many of us are grieving, for me, the loss of a long-term job, and then, you know, the creative community, just being able to be out in the community, spending time with people in person, connecting around art and music. It's definitely been a grief process to not have those things. But at the same time, for me personally, this has been a great time to sort of think about new paths, think about parts of myself that I haven't really been tending to, and creative directions I want to take, and just sort of be in the presence of the muse and see what other creative pursuits I'm led to. You know, because I think, like all of us, even when we're doing work that's important and part of community and very creative, we can still kind of get in a rut and feel safe and feel comfortable. And to be honest, I think I had been in that space a little bit. Kind of like shook up my little snow globe, and I'm watching the pieces settle and trying to figure out what the new picture is going to be.
Well, and I think you hit such the nail on the head when you said, yes, everybody is going through their own grief process, and particularly the arts economy and the gig side of the arts economy is just in shambles right now. And so it makes a lot of sense that a lot of us who have been trying to kind of scrap our way to financial freedom would want to find some of those stabilities. So it's interesting for me that a lot of the people who've been living in the music and arts gig economy, you know, are going more towards daytime jobs. And you've almost had a little bit of the converse for you this last year.
Right. Well, you know, I'll tell you that it's a tricky time to find, to find that kind of daytime job. There's a lot of really talented people who are unemployed and less jobs currently than there have been in the past. So it's a competitive market. And at the same time, Asheville, the joke has always been that if you want to move here, you have to bring your own job. And sometimes if you want to stay here, you have to build your own job. So
And in part, being a creative, we sometimes, like you said, we need that push sometimes. We can get a little comfortable. And so I have learned so much about 2020 and working with a lot of the creative entrepreneurs I do. The best thing you can do is get in that growth mindset, get prepared to be uncomfortable, and strap it, you know?
Right.
So what are some of the things you've really focused on? I know that video has become something you've been doing so much more of that you really didn't have as much knowledge in before, right?
Yeah, I had no knowledge of video previously, other than that I liked to watch them.
Yes, yes.
I did consider myself a bit of a connoisseur. But yeah, that came out of right before the COVID shutdown in March. I had two spoken word performances lined up that I was really excited about. And I had, you know, created new work and I had memorized it and come up with a performance and rehearsed it and was all ready to go. And even though at the time I was like, well, all of this will be over in 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. a friend of mine said, why don't you make a video of this stuff? Why don't we find somebody to record your performance and you put it out online and at least, you know, all that work didn't go to waste and people will enjoy seeing it. And I thought, yeah, that's a cool idea. You know, I would like to work with video.
Yeah.
So another friend filmed it and then got caught up in some work stuff and didn't have time to edit it. So I thought, well, I'm going to give it a shot, right? I've edited tons of writing, you know,
right.
So I understand the basics of storytelling. How hard could it be?
How hard was it?
It's pretty hard. but I really enjoyed the challenge, and enjoying the challenge of editing video made me want to understand more about making video. And so I bought a camera and just kind of went down that rabbit hole. And it's been just a wonderful experience. And I'm actually currently enrolled in AB Tech's Digital Media Digital Video Certificate Program, which is a mouthful, but
right. Maybe we could help them rebrand that a little, but either way, you're learning more video through AB Tech. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's really exciting. And one of the things I really love, again, you and I have worked with so many creatives and artists and we've highlighted and we've written and, you know, really supported their careers. And we're also our own creatives, that sometimes we have to sort of get spurred into something new by necessity. And sometimes that can lead to your greatness. You know, you and I have, you've really supported me through, you know, growing and losing my last business. And there's a lot on the undercurrent. We can't even really talk about it because you and I have been sort of behind the scenes talking about maybe what we could launch in 2022 or things like that. But there's so much to this process to just being creative.
I think so. I think that that's so important. And, you know, I would add to that another thing that 2020 taught me was a real need to slow down.
Yeah.
I've always, you know, definitely suffered from FOMO and, you know, just never feeling like I'm getting enough done. I think as women, we often feel that way. Like, if we're not working ourselves to death, we're not really trying that hard, you know? But having time and space to slow down and go in depth on, you know, on projects and creative pursuits and learning, in relationships and the friendships that I fostered throughout this weird time.
Yeah.
You know, and taking naps and paying attention to the inner world, like all of these things, moving more slowly has revealed to me such a more rich and interesting creative world. I'm so grateful for that opportunity because it's, again, just so easy to get caught in the hurry and the rush and, you know, the whole like quantity over quality, which yeah. isn't really that healthy for creative people, I don't think.
And to be honest, it's not really healthy for any humans in general. When we've had sort of corporate ideals and these things infiltrate even creativity, we have to break those stereotypes. And one of the things I've been learning recently is there's sort of three states of being to really evolving. And we always praise concentration, right? That's the doing part of our society. And more recently, we've had sort of the meditation conversation, right? Getting into your spiritual self. But there's this third component that's contemplation, which is what artists usually do well. We're really good at sitting by a river and letting our thoughts flow and letting pieces come together. And, you know, that's what we need for creativity. And yes, we have to learn video. We have to, you know, scrap for those things too. But there is so much merit for slowing down and taking space. So I love that you highlighted that. And I just want to praise everybody who's really taken that this year and said, you know what? I don't have to work harder. I'm going to actually work smarter right now.
Yeah. Yay for us.
Pat ourselves on the back. Everyone out there too, do the same. Okay. So I personally really, really wanted to talk a little bit about your Fringe performance from this year.
Yay.
I fell in love with it. It seemed like it was, again, an idea you'd had for a while. I even remember us talking about it when we actually could see each other in person a while ago. And the fact that it became a video project, I'm just imagining, was such a process. So tell people about it. Tell me how it went. I loved it. I love your octopus so much.
Oh, thank you. I love the octopus too. So what Joanna is talking about is this year, the Asheville Fringe Arts Festival was almost 100% virtual. There were a couple outdoor socially distanced performances, but my performance was virtual. I have performed on stage there for the past 4 years and decided to, since I couldn't be on stage, I would do a series of, I describe them as music videos, but instead of like a song, it's a spoken word narrative. And then I create whimsical characters that helped.
So whimsical.
Yeah. So there's a dancing octopus, which is me in a turtleneck with 8 sleeves. And a friend of mine was a mermaid, an Appalachian mountain mermaid. And then there was a sort of sea creature, which is really just an ugly Goodwill dress that finds new life in many bodies of water.
Love that.
It was wonderful to be able to take spoken word and add imagery to it and to just kind of keep in that performance space just in a different way. I'm really thankful to the Asheville Fringe Arts Festival for providing that opportunity to performers. And it was really cool to be part of the festival. Even though it was online, I got to watch lots of other performances, and we had some Zoom after parties, which are super weird.
So weird,
but also so sweet.
Yeah.
Like, just seeing other people, so happy to be seeing other people. Yep. It's like, this isn't ideal, but it's something.
So. Right. And like you said, we really have had to pivot. And, you know, Asheville Fringe Festival has honestly always been such a highlight for me. It is really like supporting the underbelly of true artistry and creativity and letting us get fringy and a little weird and creative with it. So I've always really loved supporting them in general. And you've always had amazing performances the last couple of years. And can you tell people what the concept of this performance was? What was it born out of? Why did we have these creatures? And I'm so curious behind the brain of this.
Well, I've been thinking a lot this year about water as a metaphor for change, like all the ways that water nourishes us and helps us remember to flow instead of fight. You know, if you fight the current, you drown. But if you flow with it, you'll get out of the riptide and back to shore. You know, I mean, I think there's just a lot of ways that water becomes a great metaphor for what 2020 felt like, you know, and the choices where we were often in kind of sink or swim situations. Ugh. And I thought a lot about the creatures who live in water and what sort of innate wisdom they have to offer and what it would be like in the pain of change to be able to inhabit the, you know, like the form, the shape of an octopus, you know, especially I thought a lot, you know, at this time when none of us can hug each other, to be a creature with 8 arms, like that more.
I want to snuggles in. I love that. Honestly, the water concept just holds so much to that too. And part of me really had this image of the fact that water really smooths a lot too, right? Water going over rock for a long period of time is what makes change. So thinking about the pathways of where rivers flow and all of that, we are in a place of evolution right now. And we have to accept that if we're going to be able to move forward. And again, creatives, the faster we can accept that, the faster we can come up with new modalities, new business ideas, new ways of bringing abundance to the arts communities and putting us out front. So I'm all about it. What river are we going to create next?
Yeah. Yeah, I love that.
Speaking of, I really would love to talk a little bit about, you mentioned you were running Acoustic Asheville now. Can you both like unpack a little bit about the history possibly and then what it is going on with it now?
Yeah, for sure. So my colleague, Jesse Hamm, who's a videographer, started Acoustic Asheville as a kind of section isn't the right word. I'm just blanking on words, but a feature of Mountain Express's online. So he started that maybe, I want to say 7 or 8 years ago. Mm-hmm. And it started out as Jesse and I interviewing musicians who were coming into town for shows. And I would ask like 3 questions and then they would play a song or two. And it evolved into Jesse doing, he would go and film their sound check. And it ended up being just, maybe a little bit better received. I think that people are really hungry for live music performance, and the interview performance format is awesome, but there's something that's just so pure about the straight performance.
Totally.
Video. So Jesse just really took off with that and did that for a long time. But right now he's just focusing on his health and safety during COVID. So
sure.
Yeah. So while he's doing that for the next few months, I'm working on Acoustic Asheville with my friend Dave Hamilton, who's also a videographer and an excellent audio engineer. So I've been learning lots about audio and video doing it, and it's been fun to reconnect with local musicians. We're just doing socially distanced solo artists right now.
That's smart, yeah.
But yeah, that's what we're doing, and it's really been fun.
That's so exciting. So what exactly is your role?
My role is I'm shooting video and editing the video.
Look at all those skills you just learned last year that now you're...
Yeah, right? I know. It's so funny. It's so funny, and yet it feels so natural because, like I was saying, it's all about storytelling. Mm-hmm. You know, whether we're working in audio or video or print narrative, it's all about storytelling, and it's all about connecting with people in our communities and helping to elevate and amplify their stories.
Entirely. I'm curious, was Esther's Arrestors one of the first projects that you and Dave kind of collaborated on, or was that entirely project of his? I don't know if people are very familiar with that one, but I really enjoyed that project.
Oh, yeah. That is, it's a song that he put together with his band Blinding Standstill. And for those who don't know, it came out during the, what were we calling it? When the mayor made a proclamation that the curfew. There was a mm-hmm. curfew around the time of the protest last summer. And Dave received that on his phone as one of those City of Asheville alerts, and recorded it and edited it into the song. And then I created a video that runs with it that's just a lot of images of the Black Lives Matter murals that were posted on various businesses downtown. And yeah, that was one of the early music videos that we worked on.
I just honestly, again, what I really love about the work that you do is we're not trying to necessarily point fingers or shift blame on anybody. We're just trying to tell the stories of what's happening and bring the arts to the forefront. And honestly, the mural projects that went up when those, you know, businesses were boarded up in town to protect them, it was just so powerful. I hope people remember that for a long time to come, because those are the moments that are really going to ground our history and moving forward.
Yeah, that's a good point. I've heard talk about those murals being saved for some kind of a museum exhibit, which would be great.
That would be so cool. Well, I am curious if you're going to be willing to go here with me, and usually you are. I would love to hear a little bit from Allie Marshall's perspective on maybe what you see the Asheville art scene coming up. Like, what are we thinking this could look like after this pandemic? What, you know, where are we hoping to take this maybe?
Yeah, such a good question. And I think this is really going to be a lot about local people coming out and supporting local artists in all sorts of ways, and all of us working together to find flexibility and innovation in creating performance spaces and music venues. It might not look like what it used to look like, because a lot of those, I mean, I hope that no more places have to close, but it just feel like every other day I'm hearing of something new, and I'm not even like at the center of that, that knowledge anymore. But I don't want to focus too much on the downside of what could be.
Sure.
And hope that, you know, this is an opportunity to build what we want to build, you know, to build in ways that are equitable, in ways that embrace much more of our community and seek out more diverse voices and artists who haven't typically been recognized in, you know, in the structure as it was. Mm-hmm. I hope that it won't just be like the places with the most money, possibly from outside investors, are the places that get to stay and make the decisions about what Asheville's creative culture looks like.
Right.
I think we're going to have to be willing to work really hard to, you know, to make that something that is viable and inspiring and exciting for all of us, not just for a select few, you know. I think it's going to take a lot of work.
To be accessible, right? You and I know that the conversations of where government meets arts meets the person, right? The person working those jobs is so disjunct. And so it's hard to say, hey, artists, we need you to show up and show out in these ways, because those conversations are few and far between. And so it's responsibilities on people like you and I to some degree too, to make sure the right conversations are getting disseminated so that people know how to show up, so we can hold city council accountable for, you know, having memorandums, having spaces, making sure that our local musicians and performers are really getting prioritized for things.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think accessibility is a huge, huge important part of the conversation.
Ooh, that's a huge one. And recently I've been on the Public Art Cultural Commission, and we've been doing this new Call for Artists project that I'm really excited to unpack and bring more out to the community. And those are the things that there's a $40,000 project that people could apply to that, again, I don't even know if they know about. So anyway, that is such a conversation for another time. And luckily, I will be switching to a longer platform soon with a lot more to come. But Allie, can you let people know how they can find you and stay connected with you and your work?
So my website is allie-marshall.com. And of course, Instagram is always great, allie_marshall. And I'm on Facebook and all of the social media and all the things. And I would very much love to hear from people.
Great, man. Well, I cannot wait to see what comes out of you in this year. And hopefully maybe in about a year, we'll have a whole new conversation to actually bring to the public as well.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
Yes, yes. All right. Well, and as always, I'm Joanna Patrice Haggerty, and this is In Business with JPH, where we share tips and tools of our community's most innovative entrepreneurs, artists, and creative business owners. Thank you so much for tuning in, and please connect with me by downloading the Biz Radio app, by texting Asheville to 36260, or on Instagram at jph.creative with show suggestions or any questions you may have. And as always, stay creative.
Thank you for listening. If you liked what you just heard, be sure to subscribe to the podcast, and be sure to visit bizradio.us to find hundreds of other engaging conversations, local events, and more.